This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. Thank you so much for listening. The G20 summit got off to a turbulent start in Hamburg, Germany, as protesters clashed with police on Thursday evening. The summit kicks off today and brings together leaders from the world's largest economies. President Trump enters the talks with America's traditional allies on edge. Areas like climate change, immigration policy, trade, and security have all put the president at odds with European leaders. Some of those leaders, including German Chancellor Angela Merkel, have signaled that American leadership on those issues is no longer reliable. Now, meetings are meetings, and they do have a way of blending together, but one stands out from the sidelines here: President Trump's meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. It comes at a time back home when numerous investigations are digging into how Russia worked to tip the 2016 election in Trump's favor, and also at a time when Russia and other countries are maneuvering to fill what they perceive as a power vacuum. To consider what's at stake with Russia and other economic leaders, we turn now to Nicholas Vozdev. He's professor of national security studies at the U.S. Naval War College, and he says that even before this G20 summit began, leaders in China and Germany were already signaling that the U.S. was becoming isolated.
It's very clear that after Xi Jinping made an unexpected and unneeded stop in Moscow to visit with Vladimir Putin, whom he was going to see at the G20 anyway, for him to then go on and to have dinner with Angela Merkel, and for Xi Jinping and Angela Merkel, in essence, after that dinner, to give the impression that they are the two, if we can use this term, grown-ups in the room, that they are the two principal actors around which the global agenda will revolve, that's a real slap in the face to the president, because it suggests that for the first time since the G20 has begun to meet, the American president is no longer automatically setting the agenda, not necessarily the one who will be sitting in the chairman's seat when the leaders of the most critical countries in the world are discussing the issues of the day.
What's the primary basis of that? Is it climate change and the Paris Accords, or is it something more?
It's a mix of things. Climate change certainly has been the wedge issue that the Chinese and the Germans have found common cause on. But I think it's also a sense that there is a global order that has benefited most of the states of the G20, that they are not sure that Donald Trump is committed to the continuation of that global order, or at least is seeking to revise it or revise the American role in it, what the Americans are expected to pay for and to contribute to. And this is a way of suggesting that perhaps, as the title of that famous book from the last decade suggested, we might begin to move into a post-American world, a post-American global order.
President Trump meets with Vladimir Putin today, just after his meetings in Poland before coming to Germany. And he made these statements concerning Russian meddling in the American elections in 2016. Listen.
I said it very simply. I think it could very well have been Russia, but I think it could well have been other countries. And I won't be specific, but I think a lot of people interfere. I think it's been happening for a long time. It's been happening for many, many years.
Nicholas Vozdev, this continued equivocation from the president on the issue of Russia meddling in the American election, not to mention European elections, after the assessment from the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, and the intelligence community that it was Russia. How important is this with Vladimir Putin on the scene?
I think what he is attempting to do is not wanting to box the Russians in. There's been a lot of pressure on President Trump to bring up this issue with the Russians, to really read the Riot Act to the Russians. And the Russians have signaled all along that if that's what a U.S. president wants to spend his time and agenda points in a meeting on, then they don't need to discuss things like North Korea or Syria or any of the other issues that are on the table. So I think what we've seen the president doing is wanting to preserve some freedom of maneuver, which increasingly is being restricted as Congress is moving ahead with tightening the sanctions on Russia. I think the president is faced with the reality that his maneuvering room and his ability to try to craft a deal with the Russians is diminishing by day. And the Russians, I think, are also now beginning to realize that.
I mean, you're describing a dynamic where in a realpolitik world, the president may not want to bring up Russian meddling because he doesn't want to box the Russians in. They won't want to talk to him about other things. But then the converse is true as well. An American president who is boxed in himself can't push back against foreign meddling in an American election for fear that he won't be able to maneuver with an adversary.
That is that's a problem. That's the dilemma that he is beginning to deal with now, and that his national security team is also very concerned about, that is the president in these statements undermining the ability of the United States to be able to call out such behavior and, if necessary, to sanction it so as to prevent a repeat of it happening, whether it's our congressional elections in 2018, whether it's another set of the German elections forthcoming in Europe later this year, and other areas. So I think it really speaks to that dilemma that he faces, and that I think that his national security team is attempting to balance for him.
You have been watching the China-Russia relationship very closely for signs of strategy when it comes to the United States. What have you been seeing there?
Both the Russians and the Chinese are not happy with things that the Trump administration has been doing, whether it's on Syria, Ukraine, Korea, the maritime zones. And the meeting that was held in Moscow between the Russian and the Chinese presidents was a clear signal that they feel that they have options by working with each other, that the United States is not the only game in town, and that if the United States continues to press – that Russia and China can find ways to work together to strengthen their position and to raise costs for the United States. So that is something that I think American strategists have to look at, because for the last 40 years, American geopolitics has always been guided by the aphorism that you always want Moscow and Beijing to prize their relationship with Washington more than their relationship with each other. And if Russia and China do continue to move closer together, it does change the balance of power in the Eurasian space. And this is where you're going back to the original question about the Chinese and the Germans, is that if the Chinese and the Russians are moving closer together, the United States does need to shore up its allies and alliances in both Europe and in the Far East in order to do that. But if you're alienating both your allies and you are creating conditions for potential adversaries to move closer together, the end result is a United States that will find itself isolated on every front.
Nicholas Vostev, thank you.
Thank you.
Nicholas Vostev is professor of national security studies at the U.S. Naval War College.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.